every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Country boys and girls getting down on the bar.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, the 8 o'clock hour, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. First Saturday of the month, that means we're talking farm fresh commodities, and we've got Julie Murphy, Arizona Farm Bureau spokeswoman, joining us. If you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you see a commodity that's not on our Arizona agriculture wheel, which is breaks up how the agriculture industry is a $23 billion industry to Arizona, but we've got something a little special today. It's a fairly new ag business to the state of Arizona. Over the course of the last, you know, as it relates to the 100 years of Arizona's Farm Bureau history, congratulations on turning 100.
Thank you.
And to celebrate that, we're talking today Arizona wine.
Yes. It's actually, it's had some resurgence, I want to say, in maybe the past 20 to 30 years. But even back before Arizona was even Arizona, we've been known to have grown some wine grapes. But today in studio, I have Emil Mullen. He's owner of Cove Mesa. And we have all sorts of stories that he's going to tell us and why he came to grow wine grapes and create some really great wine. So, Emil, what's your story?
Well, just let's go back just for a minute to the beginnings of wine in Arizona. Arizona was really the first state in the country that had wine grapes planted way before we were a state, but a long time ago. And then the Catholic Church, as the missions moved toward California, they actually came from here to California to plant grapes. So we had it a long time ago.
We had to have real wine when we took communion.
Exactly.
So, thanks to the Catholic Church. Yeah, there really truly is more than a different phase of history for the wine industry, but the resurgence recently has been quite amazing. And Emil, you got inspired, especially when you were going through Yavapai College's, I'm just going to call it the wine school, but...
The Southwest Wine Center.
Yes.
Yes.
You were a graduate of it. Did you know going through that program fairly recently? You've had your business now, what, 5 years?
Well, we've had the beginnings of the business that started with a vineyard for a number of years. But we actually officially started the winery on June 1st of 2020.
Okay.
In the middle of the pandemic.
Wow.
So when we moved to Cornville, in the Verde Valley. We moved from Tucson, where we had lived for 16 years. And the property that we found, as soon as I saw it, I thought, boy, this would make a spectacular vineyard. My wife and I, Cindy and I, had been involved in wine for a long time, had been investors in a winery in Oregon for 20 years. And we were great lovers of wine, and I was really into the vineyard part of it, into the farming part. I never really had thought I wanted to have a winery until I took the program from Yavapai College. And I have to say, Michael Pierce, who runs that program, is so inspiring and such a tremendous teacher that I got amped up to actually have a winery. And it kind of shocked me at my old age to do that. But we decided in the middle of the pandemic, when everybody was locked down, we got so angry at being shut off from life that we just felt like we had to do something to break out. And we had this crazy idea that maybe now's the time to start our winery.
And Emil, I've actually known you pre the launch of this because you're a member of the Farm Bureau and you're involved with the Yavapai County Farm Bureau as one of their leaders. But that's what's been so fun to kind of see this evolution of your own experiences with wine and then what Arizona as a state does in general. We have award-winning wines here in the state of Arizona, and a lot of it, most of your expert wine growers will tell you it's just because of some of the amazing climates and what we can do with our wine grapes. But what's your mix of grapes that you grow?
Well, first of all, none of our grapes are ready for market yet. We haven't harvested yet, but we have 11,400 vines in Cornville on two different sites that are pure limestone, so very difficult to grow. At our house on Cove Mesa, which was the first vineyard we planted, we have eight varietals, three whites and five reds. And the three whites are Greco di Tufo, Petit Mansang, and Assyrtiko. And Greco is from the Amalfi Coast area of Italy in Campania. Petit Mansang is from southern France. And the Assyrtiko is from the island of Sardinia. The Greek island of, I've just got a mental blank. The one everybody goes
to. We don't
to.
Know writing. Yeah. We don't know the writing.
Anyway,
name.
It's a Greek grape.
It's all Greek to us.
Right. The reds are Teraldego from northeastern Italy, Graciano, which is from the Rioja region of Spain, Barbera from the Piedmont area in northwestern Italy, Barbera and Mourvèdre, which is a grape that Americans mostly know of from the Rhone region of France, although it's actually a Spanish grape. And then Aglianico, which is the one we have the most of.
And so to the point of we can grow anything in Arizona, you are proof that we can grow some unique vines here in Arizona with our wine grapes.
And it's actually what made me want to do it here. If we were in California, where the regions are so identified with specific grapes that people really don't grow anything else there, we would have never done this.
Seriously, that's so interesting. So, and there's another backstory with you. Your career has not always been in the wine business. You're pretty much a businessman. So, Emil, what inspired all this?
Well, as I said, I've been into wine for a long time. I mean, really serious about wine since I was in my probably mid to late 20s, which was a long time ago. And anything I'm interested in, I become a serious student of. And we have, my wife and I have been to Europe, I don't know, 30 times. We've always visited producers all over France, Italy, and Spain. Been to a lot of vineyards. I've just done a lot of research, and of course, the research into wine includes drinking a lot of really high-quality wine. So,
and you've brought a couple of your bottles, and then we also have the Centennial Red, which we partnered with the Southwest Wine Center, Michael Pierce, to create the Centennial Reds in celebration of Arizona Farm Bureau's 100 years. But tell us about the two wines that you brought us today.
Well, because it's morning, I didn't bring any reds. We have a Picpoul Blanc and a Malvasia Bianca opened to taste. We haven't started yet. I don't think anybody's tasted.
I had one little sample.
Oh, did
I'm
you?
Being very judicious because I still have to ask legitimate questions.
So the Picpoul Blanc is a really interesting grape that is perfect for Arizona. One of the problems we have here is that our fruit ripens when it's still really hot. I mean, it can be 110 degrees at harvest time. And as a result, we have a hard time maintaining acidity in the grapes. So everything I planted in my vineyard, and this Picpoul is a great example, they're grapes that maintain their acidity.
Explain this for our wine lovers. What are we tasting?
What are we tasting in this wine?
Yes.
Well, it's
very good, by the way. I can at least say that.
Yeah, it's Picpoul is because it's a high acid wine. It is very elegant, very refreshing. It has some really nice light green apple-y characteristics. If you're a person that likes New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, for example, which is a very high acid wine with the green noted for green apple and lemony flavors. The Picpoul is not far off from that. I think it's more elegant. I think in some ways it's more interesting.
It's very refreshing.
But it would be in that category for people who aren't familiar with the grape.
It's very appropriate to try on a Saturday morning.
Perfect, yes. Very nice breakfast wine.
And just because Governor Ducey recently proclaimed November Arizona Leafy Greens Month. I want to give props to our leafy greens growers right now in Yuma, Maricopa County, Pinal County. A lot of our produce farmers are growing a lot of these mixed leafy greens. And of course, we think salads and all your vegetables, but it's a good pairing with wine. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to give them props. But for our listeners, just remember that November is Arizona Leafy Greens Month.
And well, and this Peak Pool would especially be good.
Yeah, I was going to say, that. Is that yes. a good pairing?
It is.
With all of our vegetables?
And it's because of the high acidity in the wine. So, yes, it'd be great.
So, is a grape a fruit or a vegetable?
Oh, it's definitely a fruit.
So, I'm just adding a fruit juice to my salad.
Exactly.
It is exactly. A very healthy combination here.
Right.
Yes. So that
all the nutrients that we need from the vegetables and fruits and salads, all tied together in one.
So a lot of wine history in Arizona is very interesting, intriguing. And in our history book that we just produced for our centennial celebration for Arizona Farm Bureau, we have a section on some of the historical experiences and what went on with the wine industry in here in Arizona. And we have so much potential. And as we've talked in the past with some of our other wine growers on the show, and Rosie, I even recall you kind of making reference to this, how the wine industry has really helped some of these rural communities economically. And so you can go down there and you can travel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe 80% of the grape farming is done in Cochise County in southern Arizona.
Yeah, between Sonoyta and Wilcox, Wilcox being the far larger producer, about 80% of the fruit in Arizona is grown in southeastern Arizona.
But a lot of times they like to reference that a lot of our winemakers using those Wilcox grapes are a lot of those winemaker expertise, so to speak, is coming from more northern Arizona.
Well,
they're from all over. But.
Yeah, oddly enough, about 80% of the wine in Arizona is made in the Verde Valley.
Okay.
So there's a lot of driving. I made 10 trips in our big Freightliner truck this fall or this harvest season to bring fruit up from Wilcox to our winery in Cottonwood.
Talk a little bit more about what you learned going through the school at Yavapai College focused on winemaking and grapes.
And we'll give you 3 minutes to think about it because we can do a lot of things here at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock.